All right, let's all stand up. The first song will be Victory in Jesus. We'll sing all three verses of Victory in Jesus. I'll give you the page number, but you don't have books, so it doesn't matter for you. So it'll be up on this board for you guys. Victory in Jesus. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and he calls the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. Came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. And the last verse. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I will pray and then you can be seated on the second song. Lord, bless the time we have together tonight. Bless the singing, the specials, the preaching, and Lord, bless those at home. Take care of them. Keep them safe, especially Preacher and Cindy. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We'll be singing Showers of Blessing. Stephen, I need you to come and get me a drink of some type. Mrs. Sanders told me that Dr. Pepper is going to be a shortage, so she told me I should stock up. So I don't know. I may have to take all the Dr. Pepper out of the office and take it home so I don't run out of Dr. Pepper. So at the end of each verse of this song, we will, because it is showers of blessing, so at the end of each, after each verse, we'll have a blessing rather than have blessing time. We'll do one at the end of each verse, so you won't get to be on microphone, but I had some of the folks told me they couldn't hear over the microphones anyway, so. But again, after each verse of showers of blessings, we will have a testimony, something that God has been good to you and you've had a blessing. So showers of blessings. There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round as I falling, but for the showers we plead. Someone over here with a blessing. Anyone on this side with a blessing? Mr. Sanders. Good. Now he took a silver in shot put and a gold in discus, and that's the Junior Olympics, right? National Junior Olympics. That's a blessing. Most of you remember Blaine. That is his son, and so that is a, he's been doing this for many years, hasn't he? 4 years. So that's a blessing, especially to grandmas and grandpas. We're always proud. So that's a blessing. Second verse, there shall be showers of blessing. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round as I falling, but for the showers we plead. Someone over here with a blessing. Yes, ma'am. Grandma. I don't know if you should be bragging about that, Grandma. Well, I know that's what I mean. Was you driving really, really fast? Okay. The one thing I forgot to do, I meant to call you and tell you to stop at Bucky's and get me some jerky, and I forgot about it, so that's just bad. If anyone ever drives by Bucky's, whether it's I-10 that way or 35 this way, call me and I will pay you to get me some jerky. I always tell the Bucky's people, I'm glad I don't live close by because I would be broke. But Bucky's is expensive, but it's very, very good jerky. Last verse of showers of blessings, there shall be showers of blessings. There shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing. Now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round as I falling, but for the showers we plead. Someone else with a blessing. Yes, ma'am, Miss Stella. It's good that was mom took you. You guys left on Friday. They left on Friday. Then most of you know that Grandma took David up. He has a vehicle, but he had came down with a Zapatas, so that was why he was here without a vehicle. And then Grandma took him back home. But I know the family, if their family's like my family, it's always a blessing to have the kids home, even if it's just for a few hours. It's a blessing to have the kids home. Anyone over here with a blessing, Brother Wallace? Okay. If you have more blessings, we'll give you a chance in a minute because the next song is Count Your Blessings. But let me give you some announcements and then we'll do the next song. Talked to Mrs. Bell today and she said, Mitchell, this is mainly for you, but anyone else, if you have some big boxes, she said you supplied some boxes a while back. If you have some boxes, Mrs. Bell needs them to start packing stuff. If any of the rest of you have boxes in your house that are big enough to put stuff in, Mrs. Bell is trying to pack her stuff up. She's trying to move over. And pray also that she can find an apartment that she can afford. She's trying to move over in the direction where her kids are at. They want her to move over by them so they can help keep an eye on her. One of them lives up by New Braunfels, and the other lives over in Stone Oak Parkway area, I think is what you call it. So she's looking at the New Braunfels areas because it's a little bit more within reason of price. But if you have boxes, she can use boxes, and she said to tell you all hi. Brother Lowry had eye surgery yesterday. On the other eye, what they do is they peel it back, they go up there and they put some air bubbles up there, and that helps. Supposedly, again, anything with the eye just creeps me out. I just have a hard time thinking it's a tough thing to ever to get poked and prodded with a needle. But he said that the doctor thinks that will be successful. He is also having problems with his blood pressure. They almost didn't do the surgery because his blood pressure has been above 200. And some of you that have blood pressure issues know that that's pretty high, and so they finally did some other stuff yesterday to get his blood pressure down below 200 so they could do the surgery, but he's still having troubles. His blood pressure is still at 200 or above, so he asked us to pray not only for his eye issues, but for his blood pressure issues as well. Brother Hauser has a procedure tomorrow. Pray for him. Most of you, when I got back, I knew that Brother Ross was going to be here. Some of you mentioned, and some were mentioned, that Mrs. Ross was not here because her cancer had came back. That's not exactly true. Her cancer came back a year ago, because I called him today. The reason I know is I called and said, heard your wife's cancer came back. He went quiet for a second. He said, her cancer came back a year ago. But they've been doing every month. She goes in and gets, it's not chemotherapy, but it's similar to chemotherapy. They give her a bag of stuff. It's still contained in the bones. It hasn't spread, so they're giving her something, kind of a maintenance thing, and so far her numbers are good, but her cancer came back, he said, over a year ago, so they've been battling it. But she just said they'd already taken a trip not too long before that trip, and she just, it hurts her to sit very long, so she wasn't able to make that trip for Brother Ross, but he said he would appreciate us to continue to pray. And also, for those of you that know, he was in a court case that worked out. He ended up pleading no contest. The judge accepted it. The district attorney accepted it. He got 3 months probation, had to watch a few hours of film, take a test, and then and it's all done and off it and taken care of. So that was one of the best outcomes that could have came from that. So that's a blessing. Some of you have been asking me if I'd heard lately about that. And before, he just kept getting put off and put off and put off. And finally, and that was, I think, either 2 or 3 years ago on Valentine's that had happened. So it had already been put off for a long time. School starts, and we were going to start on the 23rd. Because most everybody else is starting after the holiday on the 7th. We're going to start August the 31st. We will start a week before most schools, but a week after what we had planned. We were going to start on the 23rd. We're going to start on the 31st. And if I can meet tonight with all the staff and the parents of the students coming to school, I just need to run some stuff by you and tell you what we're going to be doing as far as to try to keep us COVID safe and things like that, and make sure that we're all on the same page. So that would just take a couple minutes tonight after school. There's registration forms on the front pew, the calendars, and then there's supply list on, I guess we call it, the counter, but in front of Mrs. Reese's desk in the office. So if you need a supply list, a supply list in there. There's a youth meeting September 4th and 5th. So that is actually the first week that we start school. That Friday and Saturday, there's a youth meeting at Texas Baptist Church. Brother Bell, Brother Sapat, and Brother Bell. And then there's a youth director from another church that will be preaching the youth conference or the youth meeting, but it's called Fight the Good Fight. We will be taking our teenagers over there. It's a Friday evening and then a Saturday thing. So I'm just letting you know ahead of time. It's still a few weeks away. Brother Quarrel will be here on the 27th through the 30th. That is a Sunday through Wednesday. So again, make plans for that. And if you need to get off work to be able to come to that, we would appreciate that. Mrs. Garcia was planning to come tonight, but she fell again. Bruised her knee, and she is asking us to pray for her. So if you would, pray for her. Talk to Mrs. Mayo today. She was doing fine. Mrs. Plumstead didn't answer. Mrs. Garcia didn't either, but I didn't realize she had fallen. But do keep them in prayer. And then this is prayers for Ernest. This is Mrs. Prado's brother. He had COVID, right? But he's doing okay. Then also pray for her mom. Her mom's name is Jessie. And again, COVID. She's on a ventilator, and they had to do CPR on her today. So pray for her. So it's a lot worse for her than it is for Mrs. Prado's brother. So pray for both of them. Are they both in the same nursing home? Both in the same nursing home. And some of you know where that one's at because we went and sang for them when we've taken the teens there. What's the name of it? Hunter's Pond. This one, 410 and 35, I guess, right? So do keep both of them in prayer. That is one of the places that the COVID has been real bad all through this whole thing, is at the nursing homes. And the toughest thing is you can't see them. You can't go see your relatives and loved ones when they're in the nursing home like that. It makes it really, really tough. So do keep them in prayer. All right, let's do this. Let's stand up. We're going to sing a song, and then we'll have the offering. We will be singing one, Count Your Blessings. We sing Showers of Blessings. Now we're singing Count Your Blessings. And if you didn't get a chance to give us a blessing, and you stand there saying, he didn't let me give my blessing, you can give it now, because after the first verse, we'll have a blessing. After the second verse, we'll have a blessing. Then after the third verse, you get to be a blessing, because we're going to take the offering. So first verse, Count Your Blessings. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count you many blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Someone over here with a blessing? Anyone in this section? Mrs. Cools. Ton by ton. Sometimes blessings can weigh up there. All right, second verse, count your blessings. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Someone over here? Hi, Erica. Good to see you. You got a blessing? Good. All right, last verse, and then you get to be a blessing because the ushers will come and take the offering. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. And as we mention every Wednesday when we talk, the offerings go toward the Brother Coral meeting coming up in just a short time, so that's what the offering will go for.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, stay every day. Thank you for all many blessings, and please bless this offering. Help us to meet the needs of our church. Bless the upcoming meetings. Help us to raise the funds that we need. In your precious name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, sis. I'll let you stay seated. Turn to, well, you don't turn to nothing. We'll sing Blessed Assurance. For us, sis, it's 506. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending ring from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Thanks, sis.
You're invited to a wedding that will be held soon. We are the bride, Christ is the groom, and the crown of great glory and the long white robe will walk down the aisle made of pure gold. What is your answer? How will you respond? The groom is waiting, the bride to come, and the supper will be in heaven, our new home above. Here's a wedding invitation He sends with love. Just a second. If Lazarus can come out of the, if Daniel can come out of the lion's den, if fire cannot harm three Hebrew children, if Lazarus can make it out of the grave, you and I can go to heaven by being saved. What is your answer? How will you respond? The groom is asking the bride to come, and the supper will be in heaven, our new home above. Here's a wedding invitation He sends with love.
Join your Bible to Acts chapter 11 tonight. Acts chapter 11, we've been covering things on character for the last several times when I preach on either Sunday nights or Wednesday nights. Back in February, we talked about being a great employee that has character. Then we talked about character and how to achieve it. We talked about character and laziness, character and strength, character and respect for our elders, husbands and wives with character and traits that they would have, character and the follower, character and our need to be accountable. And then when Sunday night we looked at character and having a, I'm sorry, tonight we're going to look at character and having a good name to reflect it. You've often heard me say this many times growing up. I would say something to my parents, and I'd say something like, I'd ask them if I could do something, and they would say no. And I would say, why? And my dad didn't often respond to why. Well, he did often respond to why. It wasn't often with conversation that he responded with to why. But my dad, a time or two, would respond, and he would say, because I said so. And then I'd say, well, everyone else is doing it. And my dad said, no, everyone else isn't doing it because you're not doing it. And he thought that apparently supposed to be pretty witty. I didn't always appreciate that thought. And then if I persisted, he would say, you can't do that because you're a block. And blocks don't do that. And again, I was raised up in a family where your name was important. Your name, again, now if you've grown up, any of you, how many of you were like me, grew up in or outside of a small town? You know, a few of us did. If you grew up in a small town, everybody knows you. Everybody. I'm talking about everybody. They may not know your name, but they know who you are. For instance, they didn't always know my name. My oldest brother was Clifford. They called him Cliff. My next brother was Clint. Then I was Christopher or Chris. And then my youngest brother's name was Charles, and they called him Chuck. So often, they would say, you're one of Cecil Block's sons, aren't you? They didn't know which one I was because we were all, I mean, looked a lot alike. And all of us, all four of us were within 5 years of age from the time Mom started with the first one to the time she had the last one. That was within 5 years. At one time, three of us were on the same Little League baseball team. That shows you how close we were in age. But again, many of them didn't always know who I was, but they knew I was one of Cecil Block's sons. And my dad had a good name. He had a good name when it came to his finances. He had a good name when it came to his character. He had a good name when it came to his business dealings. And so that also was a privilege that rolled over for me. When I as it was an older teenager, because of who my dad was, it opened some doors for me that would not have been open for me just as me. Truth is, most of you, if you're as old as I am, you probably had to sign for your first child to get their car. You know why? Because here's how much credit they had. They had no credit. They'd never had a payment before. They'd never, I mean, they, and by the way, you say, Brother Block, I have a lot of money. Some of you may not realize this. You can have a lot of money in the bank. If you don't have credit, there's still some places that won't loan you stuff, won't let you buy something. It doesn't matter. You could have $50,000 in the bank, but unless you're going to pay cash, they still, I mean, if you have no credit history, because that's what they look at, your credit history. They're looking at what have you done in the past, which is why it's so important. But again, my dad signed for my first car when I was 16. I couldn't have gotten the car without his signature because they didn't know me. And through the years, I have tried to get the same thought across to my children. And in so doing, I also tried to make the name, when I was growing up, I tried to make it that I was a good representative of the Block name. Because, again, everybody knew my dad and knew my dad's dad and mom because they had all lived in the area for many, many years. And in small towns, that's the case. But tonight, we're going to look at when the Christians were first called Christians. Notice Acts chapter 11. We'll start in verse 21. Because this is the first time that Christians were called Christians. Notice we're starting verse 21 of Acts chapter 11. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which were in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarshish for to seek Saul. Verse 26, and when he had found him, he brought him into Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now, if you know anything about the name Christian, what it meant was Christ-like or Christ-bearer or Christ-representative. So that was when they were first, and again, today, the term Christianity is thrown out pretty freely. Christianity can cover a whole mob of people, some of them with very little resemblance to the original Jesus Christ, I can tell you, or his actions, or his attitude, or his beliefs. There are a lot of folks that call themselves a Christian simply because they live in the United States, or they call themselves Christians because they go to a church, and again, maybe a church that's not even close to anything that would resemble the Bible, or that Christ would put his approval on. But again, they were first called Christians in Antioch. Proverbs chapter 22 in your Bibles. Often we quote this verse and use this verse. Proverbs chapter 22, notice verse 1. The Bible says, "And a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." Now, what he says, it is important what people think about you. Now, there are people that say, you know, I don't care what people think about me. Well, then you, first off, then you don't really believe the Bible, because the Bible says it is important what people think about you. Second off, you're an idiot, because if you don't care what people think about you, you're going to have a hard time making it in your business. You're going to have a hard time making it, as an employee or a boss or whatever the case might be. It does matter what people think about you. Now, there are times you have to do right regardless of what people say or do. But that doesn't come up near as often as, more times than not, when people are making that statement, it's because of their attitude. It's not because of a position. If you have to take a position and people get mad at you because of a position, and it's the right position, stand there and let them get mad. But if they're getting mad at you and I because of an attitude, and what I mean by that, an attitude on our part, or the way we put it, or the way we worded it, or whatever the case might be, that's something that we can work on. When we think of names, someone might say, well, names are not that important. Then why didn't you name your daughter Jezebel? Why didn't you call your son Benedict Arnold? Why didn't you name your son Judas or Cain? The truth is, names mean quite a bit. Most of you know that we have a son named Jacob. We have a son named Joseph. We had a daughter. Now, we decided we'd name the boys with J's and the girls with R's. Anyone know what name I really liked? Nope. Ruth. I really liked Ruth. But see, my wife had an issue with Ruth, because that was the name of her stepmother, the one that had, when her dad got the divorce, that's who she, and she wasn't too wild about the name of Ruth. So though Ruth was a great name in the Bible, my wife wasn't real wild about the name of Ruth, which is why, therefore, our daughter became Rachel, because again, that was another lady in the Bible that I thought a lot about and a lot of. But Ruth would have been my first pick, but it wasn't my wife's first pick. And again, since she went to all the trouble of carrying the baby, I thought, maybe she should have a say-so. So I listened to Mom. But the truth is, I wanted Ruth. But again, Ruth, that name meant something to my wife. That doesn't mean the same thing to you, but it meant something to my wife. And so if you wonder whether names mean anything, they do. So we should have character, and we should have a good name to reflect it. So let's pray, and then we'll look at some points tonight about this. Father, I ask that you might help me to get it all covered tonight. A lot of ground to cover, a lot of points to cover. Help me, Lord, to spend as much time or as little time as I need on each one. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us to realize how important it is that we represent you as our Savior correctly, Liberty Baptist Church as our church correctly, then our family name correctly as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me give you 11 things real quick about character and having a good name to reflect it. Number one, as a Christian, we represent the name of God. Notice 2 Corinthians in your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, notice what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, notice verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, notice verse 2. Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Now, he was talking about a person. He said, you're the Bible that some people, you're the Bible that some folks, that's the only Bible they'll ever read. Now, there are some people that have met someone that used to go to, I don't know how many times I've knocked on a door and been told things that I knew was not true. You say, why? Because I've been here for a long time. I remember one time I knocked on the door over here by this little public school over here, knocked on the door, and the lady said, oh, I know that church. That's one of those Pentecostal churches. That's one of those churches where they do crazy stuff. They roll down the aisle. I said, ma'am, that's not. She said, yes, it is. I said, ma'am, no, it's not. She said, yes, it is. I knew someone that went to that church. I said, ma'am, I'm the associate pastor of the church. I think if they was rolling down the aisles, I would know. But she was, because someone had told her that that's who we were and what we were, that's what she believed, because she didn't have, she didn't have no one else, no other representative of Liberty Baptist Church. So she had, to this, she had a falsity about Liberty Baptist Church. Some of you probably found the same thing. People have told you things that went on over here that you knew didn't go on over here, because you've been here for many, many years. But because someone told them that about our church, they believed it. So again, what he said is, you and I are the epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. So again, as a Christian, we represent the name of God. Notice in your Bible in James chapter 2, if you wonder whether your actions or your attitude matters, James was pretty big on that. Notice James chapter 2, notice verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. So again, he said, your actions, your testimony is important. Notice verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Notice verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So is it important the way we live and the things we do and the things we say? And the answer to that is yes. We are an epistle that some people read. We represent the name of God. Again, to some people, we are the Christian, the only Christian they know. And if we're a bad Christian, then they think of Christianity in that light. If we're a good Christian, they think of Christianity in that light as well. So again, as a Christian, number one, we represent the name of God. Number two, to have a good name, we should always tell the whole truth. Notice Psalms chapter 15 in your Bible. We should tell the whole truth. Now, there are all kinds of people nowadays that talk about white lies, and you know, we're told just to, I mean, we change the truth just a little bit. But notice what the Bible says in Psalm chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. A psalm of David: Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Notice what he says in verse 2. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. So again, does it matter? Again, to have a good name, should we be honest? And the answer to that is yes. There's a lot of dishonesty out in the world. And a lot of people, they base their honesty based on whether they would be found out or not, whether they would get caught or not. But again, he says, you know what? I want you to speak the truth. James chapter 1, verse 19 tells us, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Now, underneath the fact that to have a good name, we should always tell the truth, and we also have to be very, very careful that we don't commit ourselves hastily. Because if we make a promise that we cannot keep, then to the person that we made that promise to, what do they consider us? A liar. Now, we may not have meant to. We may not have checked our schedule. But that's why he said, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. What he says is, before you talk, before you make a commitment, before you say something, think about it first. And so again, it's very, very important that we think before we speak. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 in your Bibles. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We'll look at verse 2, then we'll also look at verse 4 and 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Now, that James was talking about speaking to men and speaking to people. Notice Ecclesiastes chapter 5. It's talking about speaking to God, making promises to God. Verse 2 of Ecclesiastes chapter 5, be not rash with thy mouth, let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth, therefore let thy words be few. Verse 4, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. He calls you, if you make a promise and don't keep it, he considers you a fool. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Verse 5, better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. So not only is it important that we keep our word to people, to keep our testimony right and to keep our name right, but we should also keep our word to God. And again, it's easy to make promises to God. All of us have done this. We're in the black of night. We're in a troubled time. We've got some problems in our lives. You know what we do? We go to God and we beg for God's help. And then we typically do this. We make God promises. Promises that at that time we intend to keep. But the problem is, when he blesses and takes care of that problem, we go, whew, thank you, God. And then typically we forget to keep the promise that we made to God. Now, I remember years ago, someone called me in the middle of the night. If I named her name, some of you would remember her. Many of you would not. But she had a baby, and that baby on the way out of the birthing canal. And I hadn't talked to this girl in 5 or 10 years. Used to be a student at Liberty Christian Academy. The family used to come to church. Her baby had pooped in the birthing canal and swallowed some of the poop. Some of you know what that, and that's very, very bad. Gets in their lungs. I mean, can be very dangerous. She called me crying in the middle of the night, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, said, can you please pray for my baby? I had a baby and it swallowed, I don't remember what they call it. Some of you know the medical term. It's not poop, by the way, she said, would you please pray for my baby? And you know what? I promise that, I mean, if God takes care of my baby and lets my baby live, we'll be in church. We prayed, the baby lived. They came to church, I mean, like a week or two later, they came to church, her and her husband and the couple kids. I mean, I hadn't seen her or her husband, never had met them. They came for a service or two, and then they haven't been back since. It's been 10, 15 years since then. They haven't been back since. You know what they did? At that time, they made a promise. Now, those promises, God says, I'd rather you didn't even make me a promise. Don't even make a commitment if you don't intend to keep it. So we should not make commitments to other people without the intent to carry it out. We should not make a promise to God without the intent to carry it out, because otherwise it reflects upon our name. So first off, a Christian, we'd represent the name of God. Second off, to have a good name, we should always tell the whole truth. Number three, we are to bring honor to our parents' name. I mentioned that my dad would say to me, you are a block. Now, what that means is he already had built up a good reputation. But if I wasn't careful, if my brothers were not careful, we could destroy that good reputation that my father had. Whether it was his honesty in business, whether it was his Christian testimony, whatever it was, but we could defame his name. We could destroy his name. So again, we want to bring honor to our parents' name. If your parents gave you a honored name, then you should uphold that and work hard to keep it. If you, by some chance you were born into a family that wasn't a very honorable name, then you should do something to change the family name. How people look at your family. How people look at your heritage. Notice in your Bible, notice Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. We often quote these when we're talking to children about being obedient, but he tells us in verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. So he said, you know what? You do what you're supposed to. You honor your mom and dad. You keep that name. You treat your parents correctly, and you will have a long life. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 7 makes this statement, whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. Now again, no parent wants to be shamed. And I can tell you, to make my mother cry broke my heart. Now, I'd rather dad would beat me. I'd rather dad got mad and whooped my butt off than for me to make my mom cry. Because when I made my mom cry, what it meant was I failed her. I let her down. And again, I wanted very, very badly to please my mom, to please my dad. So again, young people, if your parents gave you a good name, do all you can to keep that name in high regard, where folks think well of you in the area. Thanks, folks. Now again, you say, Brother Block, in the town of San Antonio, nobody knows me. Well, yeah, somebody does know you. Your banker knows you. Your neighbors know you. Some of the folks you do business with know you. Now, it's not like everyone in town knows you like they did in our town, but there are still people that know you. And again, there are some of you, and we'll talk about this a little bit later in one of the other points, but there are some of you, because of your name, your children have some advantages or some disadvantages in life because of who you are. So again, we should make sure that we honor our parents' name. Number four, to have a good name, don't hurt people to help yourself. We're in a society today where everybody doesn't, they don't care, really care who they hurt, but they simply want to get rich quick. There's a lot of get rich quick schemes, a lot of them, a lot of things. And by the way, they don't care if they're completely honest. They don't care if they're completely above board. They talk you into stuff. They smile and act like they're your friend. And all they want you to do is sign the dotted line when it's done, by the way. And again, I've been there. Some of you also joined something in the past where you committed yourself to something. And they said, you know, if you have any troubles, I mean, you can always come back to us. I mean, they seemed like our best buddy at the time. We signed it. A few weeks later, we called up and we're in trouble. It's like, hey, I don't know what I can do for you. I mean, you need to pay the bill. I mean, they were a lot nicer when they were selling me that condo, when they were selling me that timeshare, when they were selling me whatever it was that they were selling me. They were much nicer then. They're not very nice when I call them back and say, you know what? You mentioned if I ever had trouble with my payments, to give you a call and we'd work something out. The time has come. And it's like, you know what? I'm sorry. There's nothing we can do. I mean, we have that finance work from, by the way, they already knew that. All they was being nice to you because they was looking for their commission. And all they had to do was get your name on the dotted line. They didn't worry about you after you did the dotted line. They did the little happy dance in the back, and then, I mean, they forgot about you, and it's on to the next customer. But again, keep in mind, you want to make sure that you have a good name, but don't hurt people to help yourself. Notice in Proverbs chapter 1, notice verse 18. The Bible actually mentions this, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 18. And they lay wait for their own blood. They look privily for their own lives. Verse 19. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. They wanted to get something, and they didn't care who they hurt to get it. That's the reason, one of the reasons I have trouble with these folks that are thieves. I can't even imagine. I guess it was in Chicago. I haven't been listening to news lately because I just didn't really, I mean, it's been the same thing for so many weeks. I just kind of got tired of it. But those folks were renting U-Hauls, taking U-Hauls to the stores there, breaking the windows out, and hauling away U-Hauls full of stuff. And here was their statement. When they checked, some of them were not even ashamed of what they'd done. Here's what they said. Those companies have insurance, so this is a win-win for everybody. And I'm thinking, are you really that? Someone should have drowned you when you were born. I mean, I'm not for abortion, but right after they were born, maybe someone should have. I mean, that's one of those. I mean, so to be that dumb, this is a win-win for everybody because the business is not going to lose out any money. And then we got the stuff that we needed. And that's what they said. It's a win-win for everyone. And again, you say, Brother Block, are people really that stupid? Well, apparently, because it's going on all over the nation. So yes, apparently they really are. You say, I can't believe people that stupid. Well, then you are naive because they really are. Again, don't get a good name at the expense of somebody else. Don't hurt someone else. Don't crawl over them to get up the ladder of success. Number five, when it comes to, again, character and having a good name to reflect it, your mate deserves to have a good name. When your wife marries you, gentlemen, you know whose name she takes on now? yours. What was your wife's name before she was a tailor? Harrison. My wife was a Brandon before she came a Block. Brother Reeves, your wife's maiden name was? Romero. Your wife's maiden name was? Sir? Heaven? Levin. I thought you said Heaven. I thought, that's a sweet name. I know your wife's maiden name. So, but the truth is, when a woman takes on a husband's name, we want to make sure that that's a good name. Because now that name doesn't just affect us, it affects that loved one. It doesn't just affect that loved one, it affects the offspring of you and that loved one. So again, your mate deserves to have a good name. Husbands, are you giving your wife a good name when she takes yours? Are you passing a good name on to your children? And by the way, that is part of your heritage that you can pass on to your children. It doesn't always have to be money. A good name also is worth something. So again, we want to have a good name when it comes to our giving a good name to our mate. Number six. We want to be on time for everything, especially when making payments. Notice Proverbs chapter 3 in your Bible. Proverbs chapter 3, notice verse 27. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due. Now, the key words there is, it is due. Now, there are people that don't think you should get loans and payments. At the Bible, when it says, owe no man anything over the New Testament, that they don't believe you should go out and get a loan for a house, a loan for cars, and things like that, because then you owe somebody. But the truth is, if you called up my bank today, with my car, and you said, I would like to know how much Mr. Block owes you. Now, because my payment has been paid on time, you know what they will say? He doesn't owe us anything at this time. If my payments are paid on time, they don't consider me owing them anything because my payments are on time. Now, here's what a lot of people think. A lot of people get thinking because I'm paying Ford or I'm paying Chevy or I'm paying some other big company, they've got deep pockets. Understand this. Those big companies also have bills. There are people that just think because Brother Perry has a business or someone else has a business, that because they have a business, they're rich. They think all people who have businesses are rich. I can tell you, I had a yard serving business. I wasn't rich. Brother Perry can tell you, he's not rich. And the truth is, what he has and what you might have in your business is because you worked for it. It wasn't given to you. They don't just pass out money. When you start a business, they don't just give you a bunch of money. You start a business, and the money you just set there, and all of a sudden, checks start coming in the mail. You think, wow, I think I'll start another business and more checks. That's not how it works. You get paid when you accomplish something. You get paid when you do a service. So again, if you're not paying your payment, someone else may not be able to pay their payment. They may be losing. Not only will it affect your good name, but you might be affecting their good name as well. That was something that my dad was very good about. My dad, we didn't have much growing up, but my dad was always faithful to pay his bills, and he taught us to do that as well. Again, it's important to be on time with everything, especially when making payments. If your boss did not pay you your check on time, it would become a problem. If your business said, you know what, we're not going to be able to pay you guys this Friday, we'll pay you sometime, you know, next week or two, all of a sudden, paying on time would take on a complete new look. Seems to when it's us that's not being paid on time, it's a problem. When we're paying other folks on time, it may not be as big a deal, but it should be, because it has to go back to your name. Number seven, we should give our children an honored name. Notice Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. Notice verse 7. The memory of the just is blessed. What they mean is when we're thinking about that fella, his memory is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. So you could say that guy has a rotten name. The other person has a blessed name. And again, it's not based on what their name is. It's based on the activity or the actions or the stuff that goes with it. Will your children have a name to live down? Will your brother or sister have? And again, there are young people that had an older brother or sister that after school they got a bad name. So that person, they looked at you and thought the same thing would be of you because that was your brother or sister. If you had a good brother or sister and they were smart or they did good in school, guess what? They expect that of you too because you're in the family. So whether it be a good name or a bad name, I appreciate this about Moore Plumbing because Randy worked there. He got my son working there. Because Randy and my son worked there, when I applied, they hired me. After I'd been there for a while, they liked my work, and then they asked me one day, do you have any other brothers that live in Texas? I said, no. They said, do you have any other sons? Jacob already worked for them. They said, do you have any other sons? Because we had a good reputation, they figured, now again, could I have a son that's lazy? I could have. I don't, but I could have. It's possible, but because of the fact that Jacob was a hard worker, because of the fact that Randy was a hard worker, because of the fact that I was a hard worker, they asked, do you have any other brothers? Do you have any other sons? And then here's what they also asked, do you have any other guys over there at your church that need a job. Now, Brother Block knew some people at that time that were out of work. You say, did you give them their name? No, because a couple of people at that time that weren't working because they didn't want to work, because they were lazy. And I did not want to hurt Randy's testimony. I did not want to hurt Jacob's testimony. I did not want to hurt Brother Block's testimony. I did not want to hurt Liberty Baptist Church's testimony by referring that person who was lazy, who would not have upheld the Liberty Baptist Church's name. There are colleges that when you go there, there are businesses that will hire you because that college has a good reputation. And so they assume everyone. Now, there are some bad apples in all the bunches, but the truth is they figure, I mean, all the other guys from that school, all the other guys from that church, all the other people from that family are hard workers. These will be too. So again, have a good name for your children. We should give our children an honored name. Number 8, to give a good name, return anything and everything which you borrow. Psalm chapter 37, verse 21, and I must move quickly. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. There are some of you sometimes that would give me money for something and I would owe you change. And then many of you have heard me say this. No, I would give you the money back, or I'd give you something. I'd say, I'd rather you owe me than me owe you. You know why? Because I know my memory. And I might forget, and I would rather, because I don't want to be that because I forgot to pay you, therefore I didn't pay you, which, by the way, whether I forgot to pay you or what, I still didn't pay you. So I would rather leave it upon you than leave it upon me, because I know my memory. I don't know about your memory, but I know my memory. My memory lacks sometimes. So I would rather not owe you. I'd rather you owe me than me owe you. But the fact is, what he's saying is, don't borrow unless you return it. It gives you a bad name, gives you a bad testimony. And I can tell you, there are some people that when they ask to borrow something, it's like, well, I don't know, I'm going to be really busy. I mean, I think I'm going to be using that sometime in the next 10 years. I mean, so I don't want to. But the truth is, they borrowed and not brought it back before. So you have to be careful about that. Make sure, again, you have a good name for returning that which you borrow. Number 9, to have a good name, keep your business dealings fair and above reproach. Notice Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 11. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bags are his work. Now, what he said is, I want you to be honest in your business dealings. Back years ago, when they weighed stuff to buy it or weighed stuff to sell it, most merchants had 3 sets of weights. One when they bought stuff from you, one when they sold stuff from you, and one when they was either being checked by someone or they were scared to be dishonest with someone. So they actually had one that was just weight, one that cheated in their favor. By the way, both of them cheated in their favor. When they were selling you, they would sell you 15 ounces for 16 ounces because of the way the weight was. When they were buying from you, they'd buy 17 ounces for the price of 16 ounces because they were stealing from you. But the truth is, he said, you know what? I want you to have a just balance. I want to be that if it says a pound over here, it is exactly a pound over here. I want you to be fair in your dealings with people. Again, so to have a good name, you've got to keep your business dealings fair and above reproach. Number 10, to have a good name, spend time with others who have a good name. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We often use this when it comes to standards and convictions, but it's also true when it comes to your reputation and your name. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. What he's saying is, stay away from those who have a bad testimony. Stay away from those who aren't living right. You know why? Because if you hang out with the wrong crowd, people will assume you're part of the wrong crowd. There are lots of times that people, when people get arrested, they got arrested because of the fact that they were with those people. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. It's very important that you and I choose good people to hang around, find other people with a good name and hang around with them. Brother Nichols often uses this verse, Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. So again, to have a good name, hang around with other people with a good name. Hang around with other people with a good testimony. And then number 11, and I'll be done. When we're talking about having a good name, more important than even having a good name is make sure that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Notice Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 3 says, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with all my other fellow laborers, notice the next phrase, whose names are in the book of life. In Revelation, we see it often, but it's in the other side. Notice Revelation chapter 17, verse 8. The beast that thou sawest, and is not, shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wander, whose names were not written in the book of life. Notice also Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So Paul was bragging on the ones who were saved. In Revelation, it's talking about the ones who were not saved. But in all three references, it was talking about whether their name was or was not written in the Lamb's book of life. And by the way, if you're here tonight and your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, I don't care how good a testimony you have, because your testimony will not get you into heaven. God's not receiving people into heaven based on their good name or their testimony. Whether you receive Jesus or not is what will matter when you stand before God. Now, he wants you to have a good name, and he wants you to have a good testimony. But far more important than that, he wants you to have repented of your sins and received Christ as your personal Savior and got born again. So if you're here tonight, I encourage you to have a good name. But more than having a good name, make sure your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you, Lord, that Liberty Baptist Church has a good name. All we've had, that's like every church, and our folks are not perfect, and we even have some folks, Lord, that sometimes go out and they hurt the name of Christ, and they hurt the name of Liberty Baptist Church, and they hurt their own name. But by and large, we've got some people here that realize how important it is.
Hello, friend. I'm Brother Nichols. I'm the pastor of Liberty Baptist Church here in San Antonio. We're located at 7421 Marbach Road, and I wanted to give you my personal invitation to come and be with us and visit us during any of the services. We have our Sunday school is at 9:45 on Sunday morning. It's followed immediately at 10:50 by the Sunday morning preaching service. Then at 7 o'clock on Sunday night, we have the evening service, and then at 7:30 on Wednesday night, our midweek Bible study. And we invite you to come and be with us for any of these services that you can. We sing the old hymns, the old gospel songs. We major on the teaching and the preaching of the 1611 King James Bible, and we'd love to have you come and visit with us. But whether you can visit with us or not, the most important thing is to know that you're saved and that your sins are forgiven and that you're going to heaven. So let me, if I might, just share the gospel, a quick, simple presentation of the gospel message. The Bible teaches, first of all, that all of us are sinners. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All of us, every human being, is a sinner. That's me, that's you, that's every one of us, dear friend. And the Bible teaches that because we're sinners, we owe the penalty of sin. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." That includes physical death, and it also includes what Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 and 15 refer to as the second death, which is the lake of fire. It means that if I have to pay the penalty for my own sin, I'll have to die and spend eternity in this terrible place called the lake of fire, paying on my sin debt. But the good news of the gospel is that though I'm a sinner and owe this sin debt, that sin debt was paid for me and for you, dear friend, by the Lord Jesus Christ when he shed his blood and died on Calvary's cross. In Romans 6:23, the same verse that says, "For the wages of sin is death," goes on and says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So eternal life, salvation, heaven, is a gift from God. It's something that God gives to us freely. We cannot earn it. We cannot be good enough to deserve it. We cannot do anything for it. But God gives it to us freely, eternal life, through, the scripture said, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, the reason that God can give us this gift of eternal life through the Lord Jesus is because the Lord Jesus paid our sin debt for us when he died on Calvary's cross. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, I'm a sinner. I owe the wages of sin, which is death. Jesus was not a sinner. Therefore, he did not owe the penalty for sin, death, but he died anyway, and in dying, he paid the debt that he did not owe, but the debt that I owe, that you owe, that all of us as human beings owe because we're sinners. Jesus paid the debt for us. Then 3 days later, he arose from the dead, proving that he has power, the power of life. And he said in John 14:19, because I live, ye shall live also. So understanding these things, that you're a sinner, that as a sinner you owe the sin debt, that Jesus paid that debt for you. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When I was 18 years old, I called upon the name of the Lord. I came as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer, calling upon his name, and asked him to be my Savior and to give me his gift of eternal life. And dear friend, when I asked, he, in response to my asking, did just as he promised he would do. He saved me and gave me eternal life. If you've never called upon the Lord Jesus and asked him for this free gift of salvation, I encourage you right now to bow your head and open your heart's door and let Jesus come in and ask him to be your Savior and to give you salvation and eternal life. He promised that he would, that he'd save those who call upon his name. And if you've never called, I hope that you will right now. Trust him as your Savior. Again, Liberty Baptist Church is located at 7421 Marbach Road, and we hope that you can come and visit with us. I hope to see you in church soon.